are now joined by Mr. Doug Mintz, the owner and author of OneBag.com. And good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
And are you well this morning?
I am indeed, yes.
Now, let me ask you. First of all, I want to tell you, it's a super site. I just love it. The information is great. And, you know, when I was going through it, I thought, if the art and science of traveling light would have been offered as a school subject, I think most of us listening probably would have failed. And as you point out on your website, there are many reasons to travel light. Tell us about the principal ones, if you will.
Well, as you point out, there are lots of good reasons for doing it. It depends on the person. The main one is security. You get to hang on to your bag. You don't watch it disappear down a chute somewhere or into some random person's hand and wonder if you'll ever see it again. So you're not likely to lose it to theft or to damage or being sent to the wrong airport or anything along those lines. It tends to be less expensive if you're carrying your own bag. It's something you can just deal with yourself. You don't have to pay airport people to carry it and move it and store it for you. You are more likely to be able to easily jump on a bus or something rather than taxis. You can even walk. and you just have a lot more mobility. You don't have to get to the airport quite as early. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to your bag if you take a different flight or you try to get on an earlier flight. You can jump on trains and things without worrying what's going to happen to your bag because it's right there with you, all of that kind of stuff. So I guess those are the main reasons.
So amongst other things, we've got security, economy, mobility. Now, how do we get started? I mean, how do we start to travel or psych ourselves or retrain ourselves to travel and pack light?
Well, absolutely the single most important thing is that anybody who's traveling at all, you know, more than once or twice in their lives, should create and maintain a packing list. That's the one big secret. There are lots of little tricks and lots of things you can do, but bottom line, if you do one thing, it's have a list. Don't just make it up in your head every time the night before you're going to go somewhere and pull things randomly out of the closet and say, well, I might need this. You should have a list.
Or have to go back to your bag and say, did I put those warm socks in there?
Exactly. Yep. I mean, the list does a couple of things. First of all, because you sort of hone it over time, it just means that you don't take stuff that you don't really need. But the other thing is, as you point out, it reminds you of something you may have forgotten. I mean, my own list, which I've been using for years and years, as you can well imagine, I probably don't need the list in theory, but just like the airline pilot uses his list every time when he's checking the plane before flying, I check my list every time, and it's more than one time that I've discovered that, oh, darn, I didn't pack a belt, and I would have been stuck somewhere with a pair of dress trousers and no belt for it if I hadn't looked at my list.
Exactly, and you know, I'm going to do a trip. We've been invited up to do the show up at Quebec for the Winter Festival, which should be wonderful. And
yes.
So, I mean, living in Florida, and I'm digging out all of these warm clothes, mm-hmm. and I'm putting them in a duffel bag. So I figured, let me throw all of that in the duffel bag. And then, but I didn't have a list. And then I suddenly thought, wait a minute, did I put those warm gloves in there? Now I'm unpacking all over again.
Sure.
To look. So you're absolutely right. The checklist is the way to start.
Yep. And speaking to your temperature traversal, you're much better to deal with temperature variations by doing layering, not by thinking of what's the warmest coat I own, what are the warmest socks I own, all of that sort of thing.
Good point.
The list I use doesn't include a particularly heavy garment, and yet it has, I don't know, off the top of my head, I'm going to say about six layers that it will provide for insulation, and that's much more efficient than just putting a giant coat on top of everything else.
Yeah, or the, I guess the alternative to that with a heavy coat would be to carry it with you.
Sure, yes. Certainly if you are taking a really heavy thing, like a heavy pair of boots or a heavy coat or something, that should be the item you're wearing, not the item that's taking up half your suit.
Exactly.
Hey, Doug, it's Arlene. Do you find that women have a tendency to pack more things than men do?
Well, I mean, there's this urban myth, I think, that women don't know how to travel light. And I certainly get more letters from husbands saying that if they could only teach their wives how to do this, then the reverse. But I'm not really convinced that that's true. Women tend to be really good at, I guess, what I'll call accessorizing. Women tend to have a really good feel for, with just three or four different things, putting together a variety of different looks. And that's something that stands you in really good stead when you're trying to travel out of one small suitcase. I think women have advantages over the men in some areas.
We just have a lot more shoes.
You need to cut back on the shoes and purses. That's for sure.
Now you make an interesting point on the website that you say the information on one bag is not particularly directed at campers and backpack hikers. This is directed to the travelers in general.
Yes. Yeah, I mean that's where my experience is. I haven't done a lot of serious backpacking and hiking. I've read books on it. I know what those folks do, but I can't bring personal expertise to that. But in terms of just getting on airplanes and buses and trains and cars and traveling all around the world, I've been doing that for 40-45 years, I guess, and so I have a lot of personal experience I can bring to that, and I can usually answer people's questions. But the truth is, much of the same thought process goes into both modes of travel. How can I eliminate things? How can I make things that I take serve more than one function? How can I find a lighter, smaller version of something? So a lot of it is very similar, but I don't address things like tents and sleeping bags and all that kind of stuff.
Now, the other thing is, do you find that there's any one particular item that people tend to take with them that's not necessary, that you probably don't ever use, but you always feel you need to have it with you?
No, I don't think I could put my finger on a specific item. It's always usually just too much of stuff. Instead of taking three shirts, they take eight shirts because they don't know what shirt they're going to need. And, well, they might, need a different color or something. That's another trick, by the way, to traveling efficiently, is to think about color schemes. Think about, like one or two basic colors, and everything you take with you on a specific trip should be in one of those two colors. And that pretty much guarantees that everything goes with everything else.
Right. That's an important point. Now, I was really pleased to find this site. And could you just kind of walk us through your site, if you will?
Well, it tends to be a small number of large pages. There's an overview page that sort of sums up the philosophy and says a little bit about where the site came from and what its intent is. And then probably the most important page is a page called What to Take, which is an extensive analysis of my own personal packing list. Suggesting that it would be something that somebody might want to start with to develop one of their own. And it just goes into exhausting detail on all the different items on the list and what they're there for and what the thinking behind them is. And that's definitely the longest page. There's a lot to read there. And then there's another fairly extensive page that talks about baggage, the ideal bags for different kinds of trips. And I mention a variety of bags that I found useful. I rush to say that this is not a commercial site, so I don't get any kind of commission for any of the things that I talk about.
That was a good point to make, because people tend to think that even in this, in the broadcast industry, that we're led by commercial factors. When on the show, we really consider it journalism, and what we put out there is there's a good reason for it, not because somebody's advertising.
Exactly. I mean, I think one of the main reasons for the popularity of my site over the years is that once you get into it and start reading it, it's pretty clear that this is just a person's opinion and it's not tied to any commercial thing. Anyway, then there's another page on how to pack things, lots of little tricks of packing, and maybe the most important trick of all is a way of folding clothing so that it doesn't wrinkle. Which very few people seem to know how to do. There are lots of urban legends about how you're supposed to pack clothes, and most of them are either ineffectual or worse than doing it what you would have probably done intuitively. So
yeah, I'm not a good
I talk
fielder.
About that a lot. And then there's a then there are sort of three remaining pages on just sort of summaries of information. There's a resource page that attempts to point people to places where they can find the things that I talk about. I talk about special kinds of clotheslines that travelers use and, of course, certain kinds of bags and that. So I try to provide access for that. Then I have a library page where I list not very many, maybe half a dozen or so books that I think are worth reading if you want to get more into it. And then there's just a sort of links page where I've collected together links to various sites that I myself make use of and think that anybody who's interested in my site would probably find them interesting as well.
Well, the question that comes to mind, I think, with a lot of our listeners is, how did you get this all started?
Well, it's probably a longer story than we want to include in a short segment.
Well, we've got 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, it started, I mean, I'm in the computer business, the technology business, so I was in the Internet in the late 60s before most people even knew it existed. And in the old days, there was something called, you know, mailing lists, and people would share information about stuff. And because I traveled a lot, I found I often was responding to people who were saying, what kind of a bag should I use for such and such kind of traveling? Or, you know, what do I need to take with me on a trip? And so both of those two responses kind of grew into short little standard articles that I would send out. And then around the mid-90s sometime, I don't remember exactly when, but when the web was coming alive and people were starting to build websites, I figured that I really needed to learn how to build websites, and so I just needed a topic, something, an excuse to put together a website, mostly just to teach myself how to build websites. And I thought, well, you know, people are always asking me about this packing stuff, so maybe I should do that. So that's how it started, and it's been 10 years now, and it's grown steadily, and I get about... Oh, I get something on the order of about 1,000 to 1,200 visitors a day on the site, so it's fairly popular.
If it had a high Google rating, I think you were up around a 6 or a 7, in fact.
Yeah, it gets a lot of traffic, and it grows slowly. I mean, I do tend to it. I do keep an eye on the information, and because some of it changes. I mean, in fact, I think it's when it's in the next. Oh, in fact, it's happened already. About 4 days ago. They've started to let people carry scissors on airplanes again.
Yeah, so exactly.
Little things like that you just sort of have to keep on top of and make sure you're giving the right information still.
Well, the name of the site is onebag.com, and it's a great site. We suggest to everyone check it out. And, Doug, thank you for joining us, and maybe we can get together another time, and we'll keep our eye on it.
You're most welcome. Glad you're interested.
Thanks. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that onebag.com, you've got to check it out. It's really an interesting site, and Doug's passed along some really good information to us. When we come back, Ron Staub, director of America's Great Loop Cruises Association, and some interesting stuff will be with us when we get back. So stay there.